I joined the WAC in 1943, in February. At that time, I was working for the British Ministry of War Transport in New York in communications. At that time, it was the WAAC. And I went from a comfortable apartment in Greenwich Village to a tent on the beach in Daytona Beach for basic training. And it definitely was an experience. From Daytona Beach, I went to Fort Des Moines for OCS, and in May of 1943 went to Ruston, Louisiana, and then back to Fort Des Moines, and then on secret orders to Daytona Beach again, and with Tay Miller, another second lieutenant, selected a small detachment to take overseas. Tay and I went to the Pentagon for orientation in communications in August 1943. The Pentagon wasn't really finished at that time, and there weren't any maps either. But it was interesting, and from there, picked up our detachment again at New York Port of Embarkation, and along with the half of the 101st Airborne Division, embarked on the HMS Strathnaver, a British liner which had come back from the Mediterranean with minor damage. This was one of the more unusual voyages of World War II. We took 45 days from New York to Liverpool, we had been sabotaged and ended up in St. John's, Newfoundland. Then our channel pilot misjudged some of the rocks, and we spent more time in St. John's, Newfoundland. And finally, we transferred to USS John Ericsson, which had at one time been the first Kungsholm. And on that, we finally got to England, where Tay and I took our detachment and reported to the Office of the Military Attaché at the American Embassy in London. This was definitely not a boring assignment. It was very demanding, but as I look back on the history of the time, I realize that our little detachment handled some of the most critical communications traffic of World War II. And I feel very proud of it. We did not have any major disasters in security. We belonged to MIS in Washington, D.C., not to the ETO. We were very secluded in our work, always behind locked doors, and therefore did not get acquainted with very many of the women in London at that time. It was interesting to watch the British service women doing similar work and talking with them at times and comparing notes. I never minded wearing the uniform. I was quite proud of it. Of course, we did have that little hassle about whether you take your hat off or leave it on. And do you stand up or sit down when a senior officer approaches? And there are little things like that that always made life interesting. In January of 1944, I married an officer in the 101st Airborne Division. We were married in uniform, and I guess I've never felt too sad about not having a real wedding gown. I guess perhaps it was a little strange, but it never bothered me. In July of 1945, I was separated from the service and became a dependent Army wife. And my husband remained on active duty for another 17 years. I guess some people would wonder why a woman would walk across the street and raise her right hand to take a job that paid $21 a day once a month. But I ended up making $140 a month before I got out. It has been a great pleasure to know the other servicewomen who have retired or been separated from the service and become acquainted with them. I think that this was a great opportunity for me, and I hope that other women felt the same way. I would certainly recommend military service for anyone who was truly interested in it. Good night.